I got a great deal. I started in May. We're selling these. This is going to be funny right here. This is going to be. Is that how? Do y'all have a handheld? It would be so much easier.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Pastor.
Which one do you want, Margaret?
Okay.
Well, it's the one down here then.
The one down there?
Which one?
It's on the seat, they said. That one up there. That one over there, yeah. Oh, the red one? Okay. Anyway, yeah, I forgot to tell you too, Pastor. I'm twice as anointed if I have a handheld. Because there's something about that R.W. Shambach anointing. Well, you got, anyway, okay, I'm just having fun. I have a teaching series out here. The Apostle Paul's letters in Isaiah. I got something so good out of chapters 53, 54, and 55. And it's a three-part series called Paul's Letters in Isaiah. It's amazing how Isaiah had this revelation that so much overlapped the writings of Paul. Anyway, and others. But we got the deal going, though. 1 for $10 or 3 for $20 on CDs. Hey, music, give them to your friends, you know, your relatives, whatever. I got a few of these left. These are 75 songs that I wrote personally of all different styles on 4 CDs for $20 also. That's the summer special we got going. So if you like that, it really helps us. We have a lot of things going right now and, you know, just expensive travel and trying to get our bus going and things. And this all helps along the way. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to turn here to Romans 10. By the way, too, I can take your credit card. We can swipe this baby. What a day to be alive, amen. And in Romans 10, you know, the thing of faith doesn't have to be mysterious. Thank you, Pastor. This thing of serving God and living by faith, people say, have faith, brother. You know, well, you know, that's good. You know, I noticed something in my studies that after Calvary, you can check your Bible and see that I'm right on this. The believers of the New Testament, after Jesus was raised from the dead, went back to heaven, were never told to believe. Why would you tell a believer to believe? We already did. And it's not this matter of struggling all the time. Oh my God, if I could, you know. Now, you can grow in faith. Paul told the Thessalonians that your faith groweth exceedingly. So there is a growing in faith, but we're already believers. We've made this thing too hard. Now, Sister So-and-so really has a lot of faith, you know, but now I'm just down on the bottom of that thing, and I don't know if I'll ever get there or not. Well, really, we've already believed on Jesus that he's been raised from the dead, and he's our Savior and all that, and it's just a matter of tapping into what's already there. Come on. And what makes it work is what I want to share with you. What makes faith work? God's been stirring me up. This is a message I learned 20 years ago and continue to learn on it, 25, 30 years ago, actually. But God's been stirring me up that a lot of people, you know, I want to share this more in this calendar year, just some of the things that God shared with me many years ago, because people need to hear this. And even if you knew it, you need reminded. Come on, amen. In Romans 10, of course, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, very familiar verse, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, you know, any student knows that the punctuation in our English Bibles, you know, was added by the translators. You know, they put the commas where they were appropriate. Most of the time they did a fine job. But, you know, what I'm saying, if you take out a comma or a period or a colon or a semicolon, you're not tampering with God's word because they never were there anyway. 404 years ago, and since then, 37 revisions have been made to the King Jimmy translation. I preach out of King Jimmy. I've been memorizing it for 44 years. Why change now, you know? But I have some other good ones I like to read and so forth. But watch what happens. I want to show you something here. Watch what happens if you took the comma there that is after the first hearing and put it after the second hearing. Now, here's how it's written in my King James Bible. So then faith cometh by hearing. Hesitate because it's a comma. And hearing by the word of God. What if you put that comma after the second hearing? Watch this. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Hearing and hearing. See, it's not something you heard one time. It's what you hear all the time. Matter of fact, you're already the token of what you've heard all your life. There's handsome men that think, there's handsome able-bodied men that could do anything they wanted to do in life, but some idiot all their life told them they couldn't make it, they couldn't do it, they were losers. You're as stupid as your Uncle Herschel, you know what I mean? And they never believed they could do anything, so they didn't, you know? Beautiful women that are just gorgeous, that they think they're ugly because some nut told them they were when they were young, and it stuck in their heart, and they believe that instead of what God said about them. Amen. Hearing and hearing. The Word of God will pump you up. Come on. It'll encourage you. And faith cometh by hearing. It's just a matter of, you know, and I know that Jim Wilson eats oatmeal almost every day of the world, you know. He owns stock in Cracker Barrel. I know that, you know, and I drop in on him once or twice a year, and I was with him the other day, and I didn't eat oatmeal to impress him. I really didn't. I wanted gravy and biscuits, believe me, hallelujah. But I haven't had a potato in a week, hallelujah. And, you know, it's just all working out. So, but anyway, but all kidding aside, it's not this struggle thing, just like you would say, and nourishment cometh by oatmeal, and oatmeal by Cracker Barrel. You could say, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, faith will appear when the Word is spoken. Come on. It will appear. It's not a mystery. It's not some hard to believe thing. You know, it's just there. You know, and if you came up and told me, said, I believe Oscar Boland. I want you to know I believe him. Well, first question I want to ask you is, what did Oscar say? You know, I don't know. Well, how do you know you believe him then? You know, well, people say, I believe in God. Why do you believe it? I have no idea, but I'm believing him. Best thing you can do is have a promise. Come on, amen. This thing's true. It's not if it isn't. Let's just go home and do something else today. You know what I mean? This, who all knows this book is true? Praise the Lord. God reserved this book for us, and it's God's holy word. Amen. But now, in that context, go back a little bit with me to verse 13. Let's get some context here. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That Greek word there is S-O-Z-O, sozo, which means healed, blessed, forgiven, protected, kept. Amen. And all the good things that involve salvation is in that little word, S-O-Z-O. The Greek word is S-O-Z-O, sozo, for saved. Matter of fact, in other places, it's translated healed. Acts 14, I will get there in a minute. But anyway, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we know if they call on the name of the Lord, praise God, they're going to be saved. Look at verse 14. But then we have a dilemma. They're not calling. Have you noticed they're not calling? So how do they call? Verse 14. How then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? So we know that believing is the cure for calling. If we could ever get them to believe, then they'd call, wouldn't they? Yeah. And if they call, then they're saved. All right. But now we got another problem. They're not believing. How do we get them to believe? Keep reading verse 14. And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? Oh, so hearing is the cure for believing. Hearing produces believing. Believing produces calling. And calling produces salvation. Amen? Now watch what happens. We've got another problem. They're not hearing. So how shall they hear without a preacher? And then verse 15 says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? So who is the sender? God's the sender. Watch this cycle. Watch this circle. God up here sends the preacher. The preacher preaches and they hear. When they hear, they believe. When they believe, they call. On who? The guy that sent the preacher. That's how it happens. Now, there's always some eggheads. Everybody say egghead. There's always some knuckleheads. Everybody say knucklehead. Look at verse 16. I hate to break this to you. This is a little negative, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who's believed our report? Well, there's some knuckleheads that don't believe. When Paul would preach, there's some would jump on it like a chicken on a bug, and others would say, resurrection? You're crazy, man. They'd walk away. Athens Hill, Acts 17, that sermon, remember? But look at verse 17. So faith cometh. How? By hearing. But now what I want to emphasize, what kind of word produces faith? It's, you know, so you're trying to categorize the Word of God? Well, not in value, but I am pretty much a dispensationalist. I happen to believe we're living in the right side of the book now. There's some nuts out here. Just, I believe the whole Word of God. I'm going to do the whole Word of God, you know. And this lady walked up to me one, you know, when you got a bulge in the middle, you always draw these kind. I was up in Pennsylvania. And she walks up and says, I guarantee if I'd have weighed 180 pounds, she would never come up to me. But, you know, she just knew I was a bacon eater. You know what I mean? So she comes up and says, Mr. Bummer, do you practice the dietary laws of the Old Testament? Mr. Bummer, she likes it. That's funny. You practice the dietary laws of the Old Testament? I said, well, no. I don't eat it every day, but I have a little bacon every now and then. You know, just, nothing wrong. She goes, well, she gives me a little speech, you know, which was fine. If you're doing it for health reasons, it's fine, but don't be doing it for righteousness. And she gave me a little speech, so I just thought I would ask her one. I said, may I ask you a question? She said, yeah, sure. I said, have you offered any animal sacrifices today? She says, well, no. I said, well, that's in the law, too. And James said, if you keep the whole law and offend in one point, you're guilty of all of it. You're in trouble, aren't you? I eat bacon, but you don't kill animals every day. I keep the Ten Commandments. Bravo. Me too. Try to. How about the other 603? Mosaic law had 613 laws. Baby, you in trouble, ain't you? Oh, you know what's happening now that you know you're in trouble? That drives you to the cross. Paul said the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Why? The law nailed us, man. The law told us our problem. It told us the diagnosis, but it didn't fix us. Come on, am I preaching good? The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, John said. Come on, amen? So, what kind of word will get your kids off drugs? What kind of word will get that sickness out of your body? What kind of word will get that clinical depression off of you? What kind of word will fix what's wrong with you? What kind of word will save you? What kind of word? Well, it's answered in verse 15. I love this verse. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the woes and judgments of the book of Jeremiah. Now, nothing against Jeremiah. I gave a scripture to her sister last night, believing God for healing, out of Jeremiah, actually. Jeremiah 17:14 says, heal me, Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. That's not belittling the book of Jeremiah. There was a purpose for that, but it was 600 years before the cross. We're in the right side of the book now. The way I illustrate it is, that cross is kind of the middle. That wall over there is the book of Genesis. This wall over here is the book of Revelation. After Calvary, we're here now. We're in this New Testament. Now, I would rather read Leviticus through New Testament eyes. But we got Christians that are still stuck over there trying to read Romans. Ain't nothing wrong with this book. We wouldn't have that if we didn't have that. We got to have that. We still got to have that. But we're in a new covenant now, the covenant of Jesus, and it's not between you and the Father, it's between Jesus and the Father. Hey! We're just getting on the coattails of it. See, I got some buddies that went to King's High School, class of 74. They didn't have enough sense to get out of the rain. They didn't think about college, and I went to UC for a couple years, and later, years later, I got my degree from Logos Christian College. Which was a blessing. Then a couple years ago, I went ahead and got a master's degree in church history. And education's good, but them old boys have done good for themselves. But what they would say is, I ain't going to college. My old man's going to get me on at Stearns. Some of you remember I-75, the mattress company, Stearns and Foster's. They always put an S on it, Oscar. And say, I'm getting on at Ford's. That's the same guy that goes to Walmarts and the doctors. You've heard him talk. I mean, you know, that's funny. Going to Kroger's is. No, it's just called Kroger. You don't need to put the S on it. It's Kroger. You going to see lots of doctors or just one? Anyway, you know, it's funny. I'm always going to get me on GE. And he worked there 30 years of getting on the coattails. They don't know his son's a moron. But because of that old man got up 30 years and punched a clock and was on time, they're going to get, and I know guys that got on, they're just now getting out of there. You know what I mean? They worked their hearts out too, but not knocking that, but I'm just making a point. They got in on the accomplishments of Daddy. Well, we get in on the accomplishments of Jesus. Woo, isn't that good? I just preached the gospel to you. That is the gospel, what I just said right there. What word brings healing, deliverance? Look at verse 15. That preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, you know, telling you the woe is us and woe unto them and woe unto the house of Judah and the house of Israel and the book of Ezekiel and Isaiah and Hosea and all those prophets. There's lessons. Paul said those things that happened to them were for our examples that we may learn. But understand what covenant you're under. What word brings faith? What makes faith rise? Glad tidings of good things. Boehm, is that all you think about is good things? Read my lips. Yes. That's all you talk about is blessing, blessing, blessing. Well, I've had enough cursing, cursing, cursing. Believe me, I'm ready for some blessing, blessing, blessing. I love to say, what's wrong with you? Come on, come on, really? That's kind of my little thing. What's wrong with you? Good news, good news, good news. Turn over to Mark 11 a minute, and we'll begin to wind this thing down, okay? This is just a little refresher course on what makes it work. It's knowing that God loves me, that God, you know, there's this preacher friend I have out in Colorado. Every time I call him, he'll say, I love you, Blaine Bowman. There ain't nothing you can do about it. Now, when I hear that, I don't want to do anything to offend him and mistreat him and mess up our friendship. See, people think if you tell people that, you got to be careful. You'll give Christians a license to sin if you preach that unconditional stuff. I've noticed one thing. They will sin without license. You don't have to issue license to get them to sin, okay? No. What happens in me when I hear that God loves me, I don't want to mess it up. The goodness of God, Romans 2:4, leads us to repentance. Mark, very familiar verses. Jesus said, in verse 22, have faith in God. Greek rendering is have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, 23, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now just pretend like you never heard this before. Pretend like you never heard this out of Fort Worth or Texas, okay? This wasn't written in Oklahoma. This was written many years ago by this wonderful man named Mark, who wrote out this gospel for us. Some people think Kenneth Hagin wrote that verse. No, he just happened to come across it and preached it a lot. But just try to look at it objectively today without any cliche or any camp you think of when you hear it. He mentioned saying three times and one time believing. Most of the time our problem isn't the believing, it's the saying part. Verse 24 says, therefore, one fellow said, wherever you see a therefore, see what it's there for. A therefore is the first cousin to a wherefore. So wherever you see a therefore or a wherefore, see what it's there for. Amen. Therefore, in other words, in light of this, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. You know, desire is an important component of prayer. I know the old Pentecostals that I grew up with, and I'm glad for my heritage, but they were real good at dragging people to the altar. You don't answer the invitation, I'm going to get you. They drug old boy up there just to get him off his back, and he came up just, you know, because he was scared of his mother-in-law or something. No real repentance. Desire. I can't pray something on you. I can pray that you get a desire to receive it. Then we can believe God together. But I can't make you. I can lay hands on your head and rub all the hair off of it. It won't help you at all. Desiring. What are you desiring today? I don't believe God's way out there somewhere in a spaceship heading the other direction. God's very available. We don't have to twist his arm to do things, and he wants to walk with you more than you want to walk with him. I don't know if you've been, if he's been on your mind since last Sunday, but if God had a refrigerator, he'd have a picture of you on it. If God had a billfold, he'd have a picture of you in it. He would. He wanted to walk with Adam in the cool of the day, and he messed that up, so Jesus came. Now we get back in fellowship. We can walk with him, man. Desire. Jesus said to say to that mountain. Now, I'll condense this real fast. Up starting about verse 12, it says, you know, he went out of the city and came back in the city the next day, and he saw they was in there doing goofy things with the money and selling animals and all kinds of stuff for sacrifices and things. And he cleaned out the temple with a whip, and he came back out and spent the night at Super 8 and went back in the next day. But on the way in, he saw this fig tree, and he cursed it. And the scripture said the disciples heard it. Now, he cursed it. Actually, the scripture says he answered it. Well, this is good, Oscar, right here. He answered the tree. Well, you mean the tree was talking? Yeah, the tree said something. I have no fruit. What things in your life are talking to you today, and how are you going to answer them? He said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Went on the city, did his business, came back out. The next day, they walked by the same tree, and Peter said, look there, Lord, it worked. And Jesus said, that's the context that he said, have the faith of God, for whosoever shall say. You notice he didn't say, don't try this at home. This only works for the deity. He said, you guys can do it. There are theologians that wish this wasn't in the Bible because it takes you out of the prayer line and puts you in the one laying hands on. Come on. It takes you out of the guy that's begging for a fish and puts you a fishing pole in your hand. You're going to catch your own. Get you out of the welfare mentality. Come on, amen. To where you're not just the receiver all the time, but you're the giver. Jesus said, say to it. Some things about mountains, you know, you got to get mad at it. These two guys are going to have a dog fight. One big old dog, one little dog. The big old dog just walked in there, and the guy said, you going to let that little thing fight my dog? That dog ain't as big as my dog's head. He could chew your dog up in one bite. And the guy said, don't worry. He going to whip your dog. He said, how's that? He said, it takes your dog a couple minutes in the fight just to get into it. Said, my dog lives mad. You know, them little dogs are always mad. Just want to, I mean, you know, that little dog just jump up on you and they're off of you before you even know they were on you. You know what I mean? Them kind of little dogs. You need to be like that little dog. Hey! Don't you mess with me, devil. I'm like that little dog. I'm already mad at you. Lay off my kids. Lay off my pocketbook. Lay off my body. Come on. A little fight in you, man. Secondly, there's something. I'm closing my Bible, by the way. That don't mean a thing, but I'm closing it, okay? There's something behind that mountain the devil don't want you to see. A few years ago, we went on a cruise with my sister and her family out of L.A. down to Mazatlan and down there. Anyway, we stopped at one of them islands, and they wanted to go parasailing. That's when you get on that, you know, little deal, and they pick you up with an airplane. You know, they pull you. You glide. Well, we all got in line and was on the beach there, you know. And my daughter, she's like 115 pounds soaking wet, and she got on, that thing took off. I said airplane. I'm in a boat pulls you. You're not an airplane. A boat pulls you. Anyway, and she went up so high, she like a speck. You know, my son did it. My nephew, he's a pretty big boy, but they picked him up. You know, it took a while to get him off the water. But once he drained about half the Pacific Ocean, they finally got him picked up, and I was in line. I'm standing there. This little Mexican guy comes walking up. He looks at me. He goes, You too heavy, senor. Well, I wanted to plow his head into the sand and make him a fence post, you know, but being that I'm full of the Holy Ghost and a real nice guy, I didn't do that. So anyway, my point is, but Tiffany said, Dad, you can see the ocean floor. You can see the top of the hotels. Over here, mountain, you can see even kind of behind these hills over here. I'm thinking, you know, that's why the devil knocked you out when you were 12. Knocked you out of the game when you were 20. Used somebody to say some hurtful words that scarred you for life. There's been mountains in your life. And the devil don't want you to see behind. Because if you ever saw behind that mountain what God has for you, you'd start some excavation today. You'd start some mountain moving today. Come on. You know, to be honest with you, this is one of my favorite messages, and I could go till 6 o'clock tonight. Did you get anything out of this? Come on. Was this good for you? A little refresher? You know, we need to hear this. Faith cometh. Speak to it. People are saying what they see instead of seeing what they say. Play that piano for me. Let's close this thing up. Christine, thank you, folks. Jesus, you are something else. Let's take a minute and praise him. Lord, thank you for these great words in red today. Thank you, Lord, that you had the audacity to say we could do this too. This isn't some far removed thing that only certain ones, but Father, whosoever. You know, saints, the same Jesus that said whosoever in John 3:16 is the same one that said whosoever in Mark 11:23. Let's all stand today. Oscar was so kind to give me water, and I got so carried away, I've not touched it yet. Praise the Lord while I take a sip here. Okay. The song says this. Don't let this moment pass you by. Jesus is waiting with his arms open wide. He's willing to supply all of the needs in your life. Take my advice. Don't let this moment pass you by. Take my advice. Don't let this moment pass you by. Oh, Jesus, we thank you today, Lord. Why don't you take the hand of somebody next to you and let's just pray for one another tonight, this morning. Lord, touch every life here today. Don't let one leave without that precious Holy Spirit anointing flowing through them, even through the weak, Lord. Make them light and salt. Make us an influence, what Paul called the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Father, let the fullness of him that fills all in all reach out to those we touch and see, and may your power to usward be manifest, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And we receive, come on, saints, we receive this word today, Lord. We're people of faith. Thank you for the good news that brings faith and produces faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Bible said, clap your hands, all you people. Let's clap our hands to the Lord and thank him today. Come, Brother Boland, and just close, brother. Here's my microphone, and thank you for letting us do our thing and bless you today.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God.